During this time of year, as our anticipation begins to rise, as our expectations deepen, waiting on the birth of Jesus the Christ, as we have lit the candle of hope, as we have stood next to the candle of peace, we are thankful that no matter the obstacles and struggles that we find around this world, that Advent remains undeterred, that we continue to dream of joy, not despite all of those struggles around the world, but because of those struggles that we find around the world. And it was the same the very first Christmas. The world was not free from heartache or despair. That it reminds us how life is fragile. It reminds us how so much in this world is outside of our control, and time again, we have been reminded of that during 2020. And that is not meant to leave us feeling powerless, but we can admit control is an illusion. But despite those limitations, Advent remains undeterred, that it continues to move forward with expectation of the coming of the grace of God. One of those joyful memories that I have from my childhood is when over 30 years ago, I went on a church retreat for a long weekend. I was in the fifth grade, and as we gathered over that weekend, we would have worship at night. We would meet for Bible study in the afternoon. We played kickball. We rolled down hills. We went tubing on a river. My counselor was Colonel Beebe. It was a nickname, but that's what he told us to call him. He was a retired colonel in his 70s, but he had more energy than all of us fifth graders combined. In fact, on the first morning of that retreat, he woke us up early. As we wiped the sleepy from our eyes, he ushered us out in front of the cabin, and he said, "Okay, we're going to wake up the entire camp." That he had us sing or shout as many times as we could that old campfire favorite, "Rise and Shine and Give God the Glory, Glory." It was a terrible alarm clock, but we thought it was the greatest thing in the world, that we really got away with something. And we laughed all the way to breakfast. And like the singing of fifth graders, or the sun rising each and every morning, like the shared laughter after a well-timed joke, or like the love we have for a child, Advent is a force which remains undeterred. For God comes to us at Christmas. The psalmist says, "When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed." The psalmist speaks of celebration, of when the captives were brought back home, when those who had been long exiled came back to the place that was familiar to them. It was a dream come true. And like Advent, our dreams continue to move forward, that even if one of our dreams are shattered into a thousand pieces over the corners of reality, in due time, we will begin to dream again. And if one of those dreams catches the glimpse of reality, we are surprised by a joy that rises up inside of us that we couldn't hold back even if we tried. It's like the joy of a renewed friendship, or the joy in the midst of shared community. It's the joy of having a second chance. It's the joy when a wound finally heals, that we are like those who dream. And even though Advent is undeterred, we don't always see it coming. Advent does not always follow those GPS directions. It doesn't have a preference for the shortest and simplest path. It's like Mary and Joseph finding themselves on the longer route as they traveled to Bethlehem, which was out of the way. And it wasn't a place of prominence. It was not a place of prestige. It was not the place you would expect the Messiah to be born. But that is the way of joy. And we hear it in Mary's voice. God has looked with favor on the loneliness of his servant. God has filled the hungry with many good things. That God is always moving towards those who are in need. That apparently, joy is rather subversive. That joy is always working in the background, always trying to redeem the heartache and the hurt. When this pandemic started earlier this year, John Krasinski, a television actor, started a program called Some Good News. He simply asked people around the world to send him stories of good news. And the first episode has been watched over 18 million times. Stories of resilience and love. Like the picture he shows of the grandfather in Ireland, where in the midst of this pandemic, he's standing outside the window, peering into the hospital room, seeing his grandson, who was born that day. There is a distinct joy all over his face. Or like the couple who had to cancel their trip to Paris, so instead they brought Paris to them, taking sidewalk chalk and drawing an outline of the Eiffel Tower on the side of a building. And it was there at the base of that Eiffel Tower where they were engaged, starting the next chapter of their lives. Or the story about the man from Alabama who in his 80s continued to go see his wife who was in a memory care unit. During the days of the pandemic, he stood outside her window where they could continue to sing Amazing Grace together. that joy has a way of finding us when we need it the most. And so often, we experience joy mixed with all sorts of other emotions. The show also tells the story of Coco Johnson, who's 15 and has been battling cancer. And when I was 15, the worst thing I had to worry about was chemistry class. But Coco finished her final chemotherapy treatment in the middle of this pandemic. And as she drove home with her family, they were surprised. Because as they entered the neighborhood, the streets were lined with family and friends, neighbors holding balloons and holding up posters, waving and clapping, celebrating with her. That it is the surprise of joy that comes to us on the winds of the Spirit. That in the midst of hardship, Advent, the coming of God's grace, remains undeterred. So perhaps there is a place in our lives for daydreaming. Daydreaming does not take the GPS directions. It ignores the simplest and shortest route. In fact, we oftentimes think of daydreaming as a waste of time, not accomplishing anything. But one thing our dreams can do, it can make room in our lives for something more. And there are times in our lives where there feels as if there is no room for joy. That the heartache is just too heavy. It crowds out room for anything else. And in those moments, we must remember the waiting of Advent that can give birth to new dreams and the assurance that there is nothing that we have to do for Christmas to come. That we are simply like those who dream. Those who dream of hope, peace, joy, and love. And I do not know why we can experience joy right there in the middle of sadness. I do know that the joy does not make the sadness good, but it does mean joy can find us when we need it the most, that Advent is undeterred, and thank goodness that Jesus will be born in Bethlehem. So we might imagine, we might dream of Mary on Christmas Day reaching down to pick Jesus up out of a manger, holding him in her arms. It is not how she expected the story to unfold. It is not the circumstances that she might have anticipated. But it was the joy of Christmas. As Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord." Amen.